Hey guys, it is Ryan. For years, Chumba's been setting the bar for online social casino fun, and it just keeps getting better with new games released every week and daily bonuses to collect. The fun never stops. So claim your welcome bonus now at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
It's time for the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios, located at Bobcat of Houston in Porter. Here's Del Olalea.
When the world was a time of this and that, I was young, didn't know to hold it back. Now we're here in the world, something else. We can leave any day and call for help. We were gods, nobody was above me. The A on my chest like a Dolce. The A on my chest, put your fist up. The A on my chest like a chipmunk. Alvin. Theodore, breathe in, breathe out, me and more, breathe in, breathe out, never mind, it was time, number nine, let my lies, feline, with a death wish, be right, didn't help, no name on a guest list, hold on, with destiny.
Welcome into the show. As you heard the man, I am out at Bobcat of Houston in Porter. We're going to be out here till 3. It's for their grand opening. The grand opening. I like a grand opening. The place is new, it's clean. There are a bunch of machines I can't name until they put a, like a note in front of me. But I know they dig up stuff. They pull stuff out of the ground. And if you need something like that, you can come out to Bobcat of Houston in Porter. And it's 24415 U.S. Highway 59. So 59. Come out here to Porter. It's right past Kingwood. It was an easy drive for me. You know, the talk at the station was, wow, that's a long drive, Del. In the morning, it's not so bad. I mean, I have to drive like an hour to get to work anyway. So it's regular stuff for me. So come out here, the grand opening, and they're going to provide lunch. If you come out here right now, you get lunch. Well, not right now. 11 to 2, the lunch begins. And beyond the grand opening and the lunch, you get 10% off parts and supplies. So now's the time to come out here. If you like digging up stuff, ripping stuff out of the ground, Bobcat of Porter is for you. So I was connected here right around 9:30. So I got a full taste of John and Lance from 9:30 to 10. That includes beat the Warehouse Live guy. That includes News of the Weird. And what I took from it is the double banger is worse if you're not in the building. Sean got a taste of it live, which is fun. I play the sounder. I think Sean hit the sounder for a double banger. We'll see how Eric does against Justin this week. But if you guys are out there and you're listening, you go, wow, that's terrible on my ears. I'm with you. I'm with you. And now I'm on the remote equipment, but I listen to that and go, okay, it's fun. It's fun when you're doing it. But listening to it, it all depends on your ear, I guess. So I understand how all you guys feel now.
And being on headphones, I cannot help. Cannot help the situation whatsoever. Just having that directly in your ear holes?
No, no. There are a lot of things I don't want directly into my ear hole. But
definitely not a double banger.
Yeah. The sounds, John overmodulating, it's all perfect. It's all perfect for a disaster of a radio experience if you're not there. But it's fun.
Hall of Famers.
People seem to love it. Yeah, that's what I've heard. That Hall of Fame ceremony is not this weekend, but next weekend. John will be back in town for that. It'll be in Kilgore for the Texas Radio Hall of Fame. Those guys will be inducted along with several others, so that'll be nice, and maybe we can stop hearing about it, which is not likely. So I'm sure there'll be newly inducted Hall of Fame promos that Michael will do, but hey, let's celebrate a Hall of Famers, the Wash Kings, as I like to call them. Someone who's not washed, Matt Stafford. Now, CJ in the offseason talked about how much he loved Matt Stafford, and people are like, Matt Stafford? Matt Stafford, the Matt Stafford I saw yesterday, I get it. CJ, I get it. That was a big-time performance for a guy who doesn't have a great offensive line, but they found some health there, so they've gotten better. But him against that Brian Flores defense, and we know what that defense has done this year. Not the last 2 weeks. Jared Goff and Matt Stafford have found success against him, but we saw our good young quarterback in that situation. Now, that one was on the road. And it didn't go well for the Texans offense and C.J. Stroud. And I talked about this during the offseason because a lot of the talk about Brian Flores is, if you listen to podcasts and you just are on NFL Twitter, Brian Flores is someone who is the line of demarcation when it comes to if your quarterback is good or he's not. If your quarterback can exploit some of the things Brian Flores allows to happen because of how he sets up his defense, that means your quarterback is above that line and you can probably classify him as good. If he doesn't, then you can start to question what your quarterback is. Now, CJ would have fallen below the line if we just go by what happened in Minnesota. But some of that might have to do with who your play caller is, too, because Stafford has McVay and Jared Goff, who was nice against the Vikings in his last game, has Ben Johnson. And I lead into that play caller talk because that's where we're at right now. You're 5-2. You've got a really good young quarterback, and when he doesn't play well, you look to the play caller and ask, what's wrong with you? Why isn't our offense operating like it should? Yeah, we know Nico's not there, but you still got Tank. You still got Stephon Diggs. Why isn't our offense what we think it should be? We're not going to blame CJ, so it has to fall to the coordinator. And Bobby Slowick spoke to the media. So we'll get to some of that here in the first segment because it was his day. From the 3rd-and-15, from the questions about just the operation as a whole, why isn't your offensive line protecting? What are you doing that to set those guys up for failure? And we know this show is focused on another name, a name below Bobby Slowick and Chris Strauser, a guy who people are asking, at least the Chronicle is asking, if the Texans are going to fix their mess on the offensive line, does someone need to lose their job? Do you need to elevate your assistant O-line coach, or would that not solve the problem? So it's a Slowick problem, it's a Strauser problem, and to be fair, it's a D'Amico problem because he hired those guys. But Bobby Slowick was under, I won't say under fire because it's Houston. We're not going to crush a guy, but they did want answers. And so they talked about line of scrimmage and the operation, Bobby Slowick taking ownership of pass protection. But first, let's get to the call on 3rd-and-15. It was the call that's still in question. We're talking about a Thursday. He talked on Thursday, a Thursday after a Sunday game when you have the Colts coming up, and we're still talking about this call because if it goes a different way, maybe the Packers don't have enough time to get in field goal range, although that's questionable. But 3rd-and-15, you want to stay in bounds. It's an unlikely down where you're going to convert. You want clock run. Even if the Packers were going to go down there and score, you would like to know that you did everything possible to make it as difficult as possible, and people don't think the Texans did that. So here's Bobby Slowick on the 3rd-and-15 versus the Packers and what could have changed.
Starting point is, man, that's a bad call, right? So we go into it thinking hopefully we get inside leverage or off corner, you know, like really what they've shown in similar situations is three guys across the end zone, off corner, inside leverage on Tank, gave him a route he scored on last year, really the same part of the field. And then instead we got outside leverage press, which is hard. Like that's not what the route's for. They doubled Steph, so really for the quarterback, you got to get all the way to the backside answers, which would have been good on that play, but he's already been hit 12 times. You know, he's not. It's everything trickles down in the NFL, right? So it's not always any like one given play. I think what CJ did in that moment was 100% right. Like we can't hold on to the ball; we got to get the ball out of our hands and look be darned a little bit. You know. So to me, like it's the fact that we've had the protection issues early in the game that we're not confident being able to hang in the pocket.
And we talked about that earlier in the week, Sean, that your quarterback's getting hit. You can't protect. There are certain things your coordinator isn't going to want to happen. And you can't have confidence in your O-line. And he talked about your quarterback's not going to have that confidence to stand in there and get to a second read or go to the other side of the field and try to make a play. It just wasn't going to happen on Sunday. Excuse me. That was a team who, I won't say rattled, but they understood the scenario. The offensive line can't be trusted. You can't have a strip sack. You can't fumble the football there. You can't turn the ball over. See the read, make the throw, and if it doesn't work out, you kick a field goal. The worst case scenario was we kick a longer field goal than we would have liked, but we're still taking lead here because we trust our kicker. So is that enough? Is the pound of flesh that everyone wanted, did that answer suffice? Because you know what Bobby Slowick doesn't do? Doesn't go to the D'Amico Ryan's school of deflecting when it comes to questions. That was a long, thought-out answer, and he described what it was and how it broke down and why things happened the way they did. As opposed to D'Amico earlier, who, when asked a question about that play, goes, the play is designed to something along the lines of get the first down or make a play. That was something, that's what he said. Instead, Bobby Slowick, being the offensive mind, broke it all down, and he told you what was what. So, Sean, you've heard the clip, I think, probably a couple of times. I'm sure it got played earlier.
Yes.
In the day. Now that you've heard what Bobby Slowick said, did you get your pound of flesh? Are you okay with Bobby Sloak, or do we need more punishment? Do we need to berate Bobby Sloak a little bit more?
You know, after at least the third time hearing this, I'm okay with the, I guess I'm okay with the reasoning behind the call. I still don't love the call, but he can move on to being pilloried for the body of work that he's put together this year.
Instead of just one play.
Yeah, instead of just one play. No, but I do think you brought up a good point with how he answers questions versus how D'Amico answers questions, where D'Amico, it's like, yeah, we just got to work on it, you know, execution, NFL, you know, it's hard. But we just, you know, we're beating ourselves out there. And it's all stuff that has meaning, but it's not very in-depth. I imagine the conversations inside the building are a little bit differently than what we get from D'Amico outside the building. And Bobby Sloak gave you an answer that you'd think that you would hear inside the building. He ran through what the look was that they were expecting from the defense, what the look they got from the defense was, how, you know, they're doubling digs on the other side, so you need to go look for answers somewhere else, but you don't have the time because you've been under pressure. And so you just throw it and, like you said, just move on to fourth down, which that part's fine. It's just the idea of throwing there I didn't love.
Yeah, he's an OC. They love a lot of plays. Bobby Sloak, he'll get his words in. More words, more plays. D'Amico, a DC. He wants to be on the field less, and he wants to talk less.
Three and out.
Yes, let's get That's a turnover, cool. A three and out. What can I do to shut down this question as quickly as I can? A strip sack? A pick six? Can everyone be like Kyle McCord was last night? Woof. We had that talk, Sean, about who was the second best or third best quarterback in the ACC. Kyle McCord's like, not me. I'm not. Don't worry about me. Eli Holstein doesn't even have to be good tonight. I'm just going to make it known. You don't have to look at me. You can look at Kay Klubnik. You can look at Eli Holstein. You can look at the kid at SMU, but I'm out of the equation. Syracuse 5-1, high hopes, and Kyle McCord threw those hopes away, at least when they're trying to fight for an ACC title. So certainly that was an interesting start to the college football weekend, although now college football starts on Tuesdays. Was FIU Sam Houston State part of the previous week, or were they part of this week? It's a Tuesday.
It was technically
what we consider it.
I think it was technically week 9 or whatever.
I think it's technically 8.
It was this week.
This week. Yes. It's technically this week, even though it's closer to last week as far as a time frame between games. So if you were going back and forth between the NFL and the college football game, you ain't me, because as soon as I saw the second pick, I was out. Okay, this isn't gonna go the way anyone wants if we wanted a competitive game.
It didn't help that he was throwing pick sixes. So
they weren't even giving Syracuse a chance to get stops. These going right in the end zone.
The halftime side by side of the yards and all the stats of the game, other than turnovers. You look at the game, you're like, Syracuse probably winning close. It's probably a 10-3 type game. And then the actual score is 31-0 at halftime because there's three interceptions, two of them are pick sixes in the first half. Just not what you want to see. Are you going to ask if it's a Quinn Ewers tribute performance?
No. I was going to ask if it, no. Well, see, because you're a hater. But no, that wasn't what I was going to ask. I was going to ask, was he honoring Nathan Peterman in the former home of Nathan Peterman?
Oh, yeah. It was Peterman-esque. It was definitely Peterman-esque.
Even Peterman didn't do the triple pick sixes thing, though. I think he threw the five, but I don't think three were...
I think it was only two pick sixes. Maybe it was one, actually.
I don't think three were returned for touchdowns. What Kyle McCord did was magical as a Pitt Panther stay undefeated in a remarkable way. So there's plenty of football on yesterday, and certainly that'll continue today and through the weekend. So we'll certainly talk about that. We'll get to what is a big weekend in college football. We'll talk about the NFL. We'll hear more from the Texans coordinators, including more from Sloak and Matt Burke, because Kamari Lassiter's back. He was at practice again, and I say again because there's no guarantee that if you practice on Wednesday that you'll continue to practice, because we got word yesterday that a Texans linebacker who practiced on Wednesday did not practice yesterday. So I'll talk about that and what that might mean for that Texans defense, who will see Anthony Richardson and the Indianapolis Colts on Sunday. So we're just getting started here at Bobcat of Houston. We're in Porter for the grand opening. Remember, 10% off parts and supplies today. The grand opening event starts at 11. They're going to provide lunch, and you can enter to win a brand-new Bobcat ZT3000 with a 48-inch deck. You got an RTIC cooler or Echo Trimmer blower. If that means something to you, come down here and take advantage of what they have to offer here at Bobcat of Houston and Porter. We're just getting started here on the show. We will be back.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
Kane is in the building there.
Broadcasting live from the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios, located at Bobcat of Houston and Porter, it's the Del Olalea Show.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Welcome back to the show. The social team is out here, and they're already trying to get me on a riding mower for some reason. They say it'll go viral. I'm not getting on a riding mower. And why would I have the chance to get on a riding mower? Because you heard Michael Carroll. We're at Bobcat of Houston, the grand opening of the Porter branch here. And yes, they have riding mowers, they have excavators, they have it all. If you're trying to cut grass, dig up grass, they got it all for you here at Bobcat of Houston. Grand opening. And from 11 to 12, they're going to feed you if you come out here. And, of course, it'll be 10% off parts and supplies. The offer is available only for today for the event from 11 to 2. But, of course, they're opening. So they're going to be open all day long and, of course, all weekend long. So if you want to come out here and take advantage of this nice, clean, new facility, come out here, Bobcat of Houston in Porter. Okay, Sean and I were in a spirited debate, mostly because of how stupid we felt talking up Kyle McCord yesterday. And then he decided to make anyone who had any faith in him look dumb. That whole Will Howard ain't much different from Kyle McCord. Why would Ohio State let Kyle McCord go? Well, I don't think they could have foreseen five interceptions total and three pick sixes, but this is the reason. This is maybe the reason they thought we could do better. And Will Howard, despite the slide that he shouldn't have done, cost his team a chance at a game-winning field goal, been just fine at Ohio State, the transfer from K-State. So it was good quarterback play in the Thursday night NFL game, and awful quarterback play in the college football game.
Or just great defense from Pat Narduzzi.
No, I watched the game. I watched the picks.
Oh, okay.
Great defense.
I'll be honest. I didn't watch Syracuse Pitt, mostly because by the time I realized it had started, I think he was already at least two interceptions deep, if not two pick sixes deep. So I was like, you know what? Don't need to check this one out. Don't need to see it with my own eyes. It would only hurt more. My boy, Kyle McCord, going out.
Your
sad.
Boy. Your boy. Yes. Our boy, when our we were boy. Trying to rank him in the ACC quarterback tiers, and he had a bad night. Maybe it'll be just a bad night, and the Syracuse Orange will come back, and Kyle McCord will bounce back, but for a night in a premier game in the ACC, yes, it was. I know I'm talking about Pitt and Syracuse, but you had two teams battling for a potential conference title, at least getting to the conference title game. It was a big game in that race, and Syracuse falls flat on her face, and Pittsburgh continues what has been a surprising year, considering Eli Holstein, their transfer quarterback, wasn't really good at Alabama. One of the reasons he didn't transfer because he was obviously next in line, but a five-star freshman took the job from him or became the clear backup. He just wasn't very good, and he had to go. So he found a spot at Pitt, and that's kind of worked out for him. But he hadn't played that well the last couple weeks, but good enough as Pitt remains undefeated. So Kyle McCord didn't really have much issues with pass protection. He just threw the ball to Pitt for no reason. but Bobby Slowick and their pass protection here in town has been a question, really, for us in this show from the jump, from the start of the year. But it really has come in the losses where people have decided this is a big deal and what can be done. So Bobby Slowick, being a man who doesn't run from the struggle or people taking shots at him, he's taking ownership of the pass protection issues, and here's what he had to say about it.
It's always a multitude of things. It's never just one thing, right? But, it's shown up probably about three times this year where we've had some issues in protection that are completely controllable. So, for me, that starts, with me. I'm not doing something right. I'm not coaching something right. I'm not saying things in a way that needs to be interpreted the way it needs to be interpreted. Because honestly, the things that we missed in the game are things that DeMeco's been giving us day one in training camp. So it's stuff that I know they've seen and they've done and they've knocked out before. I mean, obviously, you're on the road, you're in Lambeau, communication's going to be hard. You got a strain in that regard, but we've been working on that part of it for 4 weeks. Like, we've been working on what it's like on a road game, even when we have a home game. We've been straining on silent. We've been going on silent cadence even on weeks like this. So, I mean, that's been an emphasis for us. You see it in the pre-snap. Now we got to see it in the post-snap, and I got to find a way to get that out of our game.
Once again, the leader in words per answer, but thank you, Bobby Slowick. It's something that he mentioned, the road, because it happened in Minnesota too. And I think the thing that's bothering most people, at least the people who have decided to dig in on this, is the unexplainable mistakes. Like, simple things that should be picked up aren't being picked up. And I think it's very bothersome because this isn't man against man, whether someone's bringing a five-man pressure or you have five to block four. It's just turning guys loose. Not picking up things that should be simple things that O-line units on this level pick up. Simple stunts, simple games that you look across the league and even average O-lines get the job done. And this one can't. And whether it be simply the investment being put into the O-line that's got people bothered or just a belief that they're playing far below their potential. All of it comes together to short circuit an offense that has even, I think, more problems than just the O-line. It's a big factor. It determines how if a play is going to be successful from the jump. But there's a lack of production and lack of explosives from the wide receivers when Nico Collins isn't on the field, and that's going to happen for at least the next two games. So you combine the offensive line problems with the lack of explosive plays, you get a unit that is below, or at least performing far below expectations. And it's now a national story. Not that it matters so much about what goes on the field, but when you have C.J. Stroud, there's going to be a lot of focus on what's going on here. And you listen to any podcast that brings up the Texans, or you listen to, or you see an article written about them, it's about what's wrong with this offense. And C.J. Stroud has young quarterback armor. No one's going to talk about him and blame him for it. They're always talking about how he's the one making up for things. But it is now a thing. And they're going to get another chance against this Colts team, who they had pretty good success with Joe Mixon running the ball. And they did have Nico, and he provided those explosive plays. So where are they going to come from? Can we get Tank Dell more involved? Will he go 0 for again? Now, to be fair, he did have a chance at a touchdown last week. He just didn't make the play. So he's got to step up. Stephon Diggs is what he is. He's going to be a chain mover. He's not going to be a guy you're going to test down the field. Sean, if I gave you the over the over-under for 30-yard receptions for the Texans, you going, and I gave you it at a half, you going over this week or under?
Oof, 30-yard.
One 30-yard play or half. No. Are you going, you think they get one or it's the under?
Not in, it can not, be a catch and run.
I'll give you that because I'll take anything. But I was thinking more. CJ throws the ball down the field; it's caught. Even 30 yards down the field. I mean, air yards of 25, okay. 10 yards after catch, whatever. But something like that, yeah, something like that. Do you see that happening this week?
I think with no Nico Collins, that's where you feel the I guess kind of compression of the field, because Nico Collins was really the guy. I mean, he had the one long play in week one, made a great catch, kind of jump ball-ish to get it past midfield. That was probably close to 30, if not longer than that. I think it was in the 40s, and obviously we saw what he did last year in week 18, the first play of the game. I think that was a 75-yard touchdown first play. So Nico Collins is really the guy who's been the deep ball guy. If anything, it's gonna like Tank Dell works more short and intermediate so far in his Texans tenure. Diggs has kind of been the same, and other than that, you don't really love your deep options down the depth chart. So I might go an under on half a 30-yard pass play with, you know, decent depth of target.
Yeah, I still think we're at a spot where Nico's the only Texans receiver to have a play of more than 30 yards?
Yeah, if, now, if Nico was in, I'd probably say more. But
yeah, certainly.
Without
the
him.
The explosives have all come from the running game. Damian Pierce had his one against the Patriots. Joe Mixon continues to provide explosive plays in the run game. So if we're looking for the Texans to make the game a little easier because they're getting explosive plays, maybe they don't have to drive 10, 11 plays to score a touchdown. At this point, I'm looking to the running game. And the Colts front is one that will give up explosive runs, so we remember it from week one. Hopefully that happens again, because I'm not sure with that, with the offensive line issues. Unless they're fixed, you know they're working on it. They'll tell you that. Unless they're fixed for the game on Sunday, I don't know if we're going to get explosive in the pass game just because they're not giving CJ time. And also, maybe Slowick ain't going to call him because he doesn't trust this offensive line to hold up. And that's the problem right now. Can you trust this unit to allow your talented skill to operate? We didn't talk about that much in the offseason. I had some questions about the interior, but we didn't think this offensive line may hamper the way they play offense. We thought, you know, they're not great. Still questions about Tytus Howard. Is Kenyon Green going to be a guy who's serviceable? But there wasn't a real deep dive into, are they going to limit how good this offense can be? And right now, they are a giant problem there. That's unfortunate. We'll see if the fix is in, or at least a fix happens on Sunday against a Colts defense that isn't very good. Okay, we are out here at Bobcat of Houston in Porter. I'm here till 12. Galant George will be here till 3. We got AJ here at the promo team. Our social team is out here too. They'll probably try to bait Paul and Jill into something that might go viral. Stay off the equipment, guys. I'm not sure Bobcat even wants us on those things. We'll see. But that will be decided a little bit later. But what I do want to talk about now is Billy Brown and Aqueduct Plumbing Company. Go to aqueductplumbingcompany.com right now and check out all the services they provide, from what you might consider a small job to a giant one. You think you might be able to handle a leak? You don't know that. You don't know. And maybe you shouldn't tempt fate. Maybe you're not that handy. And maybe you taking a look at a leak may cause a disaster. You don't want a disaster in your home, particularly when it comes to water. That can damage the property. That can damage a wall. That can damage the floor. You don't want any part of that. Aqueduct Plumbing Company will take care of you there. From leaks to water heaters, the tankless water heaters, water filters, or maybe you need a full-on repipe. That's a big job. You know you can't handle that, and you know Aqueduct Plumbing Company can. They've had experienced contractors doing this for years. Over 1,000 repipes have been done. They're the best when it comes to servicing the local customer. Just call them, 281-488-6238, if you need a free price quote. Maybe it's something you don't know needs to be fixed, but you know there's a problem. They'll take care of it for you. Just call them, 281-488-6238, or go to aqueductplumbingcompany.com.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
Broadcasting live from the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios, located at Bobcat of Houston in Porter, it's the Del Olalea Show.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Welcome back. We are out here at Bobcat of Houston in Porter. It is their grand opening event. From 11 to 12, you get a chance to take advantage of 10% off all parts and supplies. And lunch is provided. Come out here, you get something to eat, get 10% off one of your favorite tools or parts or supplies here, and you got a chance to win a Bobcat ZT3000 with 48-inch deck, an RTIC cooler, or an Echo trimmer blower. So we're out here till 3. Galant George will follow me. Come out here, and obviously come out here all weekend. I mean, sure, the event is from 11 to 2, but it's not like they won't help you out after that. So come out here, enjoy Bobcat of Houston. If you need something to dig up some ground, and that's an excavator, maybe you need to cut some grass. They have riding lawnmowers out here too. They got it all. Come out here and check them out. Okay. So there is a push to make officials more accountable in college football, mostly because of what happened in Austin. And according to a lot of people watching the games, it's been a bad year for officiating. A lot of it has to do with them being part-time and not being full-time employees. And you say, hey, you get what you pay for, I guess. But what's the excuse in the NFL for what happened? They're supposed to be the best in the world, and you saw what happened yesterday or last night. And if you didn't, it was 28-20 Vikings trailing the Rams. Sam Darnold in his own end zone. He gets pulled down by his face mask, an obvious face mask. They show the position of where the ref is, and you could see why he might not see it, but there are, like, how many other referees on the field? In fact, there's another referee, like, 10 yards to his left who didn't see it either. So the Vikings go down 30-20, and you might want to hold officials more accountable. That might work in the NFL, but in college football, I think the fans are a little too nuts. I think it would be a lot of unintended consequences if the officials were known by name. Remember, this is a sport who tracks flights, who will figure out where a coach is if he's leaving his current university to fly someplace else to interview for a job. They will find officials' homes. And what we have a sport that will put people signs in people's lawns, that will kill trees, that will burn couches. I'm not sure referees being held accountable is great for the referees. I wouldn't trust a college football fan if the Georgia game turned on that call that went Texas' way after initially not going, and say Texas goes on a remarkable run and wins that game. I wouldn't want to be that ref. I don't know if I'm going so far as fear for their safety, but I don't know how the people in Athens would react. You don't think they track that person down?
Yeah, or at the very least, because he's an SEC ref, these guys rotate through games in the SEC.
Yeah, you're going to be in Athens at some point.
Yeah, and I would hate for that to happen, like anything to happen there. Because let me tell you, this isn't just a Georgia thing. This is, I know you could probably say that for half the SEC. Those folks will remember a ref's name. They'll remember 4 years from now, even if you try to avoid having them call a UGA game. They'll remember, and they'll have something for him.
I don't know what that guy does. Maybe he's a marketing rep. Maybe he's a dentist. I don't know what he does when he's not refereeing SEC games, but the business is going to take a hit. They're not going to let that stand.
Some bad Yelp reviews?
Yeah, I'd rather them just maybe either make them full-time employees or train them better. But if we're going to put them out in front, then you have to expect a rather rabid fan base to let that go. If Georgia loses that game and now they're a two-loss team who feels like they're out of national title picture, wrap it up for that ref. If he had to come out after the game and explain himself, forget it. The NBA, those refs, we know them by name when they're terrible. And most of the time, the pro fan is less, let's say, less exuberant than a college fan. For a lot of the time, the team is their life. If they're not from a big city, they're from a smaller town, and the town is built around the school and maybe the entire state in some cases. It'll be trouble. He better not live in the state of Georgia, or it's over. So, yes, I want the refs to be better, but I'm not down with let's get them out in front of the media and have them answer questions like a coordinator would. It wouldn't go well. You can't trust anyone. And I'm not just limiting it to SEC fan. Ohio State fan.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
just go to all the biggest fan bases in the country. There would be trouble. Look, Miami fans still know Terry Porter's name. And if you don't know who Terry Porter is, he was the ref who threw the late flag, the pass interference call against the Canes the last time they were in a national title game in 2002. That name will be forever remembered by Miami fans. Now, that was a national title, so it's a bigger deal. But look, Georgia fans don't forget. Ohio State fans don't forget. A lot of fan bases don't forget. So get better refs. Let's hope for less mistakes. But I'm not putting them in press conference situations.
I think pro refs could have.
I think pro refs are better off
because the pool report thing is such.
But we and for the most part we know these refs' names because the announcers name them anyway.
Yeah.
On the NFL level, on the pro level, but a college ref, most of those guys aren't mentioned in name, and we don't remember them unless they screw over our team. So
if they do get mentioned, it's like in the first quarter, the first time he pops on screen.
Yeah.
They'll just give like a quick. Oh. First, we're hearing from Kevin Mars' crew. That's a Pac-12 ref.
You've had to deal with Kevin Mars before? Yes. See, Sean remembers his name. And Sean's not nutty, and he remembers Kevin Mars' name off rip. So this is what I'm saying. Let's be better. Let's do a better job. But keep those guys out of the pool reports because, well, let's listen to Sean. Kevin Mars can get some is what you're saying.
I'm just saying, if you look up Kevin Maher address, you know.
That's not what I'm looking for, though. This is exactly what I don't want to happen. Looking up Kevin Maher's address, maybe where he works, and then we start to go, hey, who's Kevin Maher's married to?
Wichita, Kansas, huh?
Yeah.
Any direct flights?
Wow. Okay. Okay. Now we're going to a point where we get a little scary when we're booking flights. Exactly. Fine. You aren't nutty, so you could make that joke. Other people, you've heard people call Feinbaum.
Wichita, Kansas.
Yeah, I don't. Yeah, Sean doesn't really know where Kevin Maher lives.
I mean, he just made a whole bunch of calls in favor of Kansas State last time to play Texas.
Yeah, and you start to piece it together.
I wonder.
The Maher family has a long lineage of connections to K-State football. Look at that.
Remember that NBA ref that was like decked out, and he and his family were decked out in Celtics gear on his Facebook.
And turned out the Celtics had a favorable record while he was reffing games. Of course, the Celtics have been pretty good during his tenure, but hey, that record's too good. So this is what I'm talking about. And that guy I think might have lost his job, but there was an investigation, I believe. But
they took
these
off
are the
Celtics
things.
For a while.
Yeah, I think that. Yeah, they kind of. Hey, the NBA maybe slapped them on the wrist and say, "Hey, just let's remove any thought of impropriety by keeping you away from Celtics games." I forgot what his name was, but we just want guys to be better. And it was an egregious call last night. But that ref, oh no, Viking fans aren't thrilled with me. Viking fan ain't the same as Michigan State fan or Ohio State fan or LSU fan. It ain't the same. Minnesota fans will be pissed, but they'll keep it moving because it's just a different type of fandom when it comes to the two sports. And they're two different sports, despite how similar they are because they're football. So I get it. But if we're being honest, Sam Darnold ain't leading the drive. It removes the chance of him actually driving him down the field, and it does fly in the face of our argument, or at least our discussion from earlier in the week when we were discussing why DCs fall apart. It feels like they change the way to defend the last minute and a half of the game, and all of a sudden guys go down the field when they haven't had any success the previous quarter. But I don't think the Vikings are tying that game. Not in that situation. Not in that moment. They had lost their starting their great tackle Darisaw, so they were in a bit of trouble anyway.
Yeah, the thing is it was a safety, so they're standing in their own end zone. They needed to score a touchdown and get a 2-point conversion just to tie it. Like I'm not Mr. Win Expectancy here, but just my own personal, you know, FPI. I don't love their chances.
The SPI, maybe the SFPI. So I agree. Now the penalty would have put them out beyond their own maybe 17. I forgot where the line of scrimmage was when they snapped it. So maybe they would have been closer to the 20. But I still don't like their chances with no timeouts and the way they had been playing after the first couple drives. Because that game started with both teams scoring touchdowns in the first two possessions, and then it petered out. And certainly the Vikings didn't get much going. You can see the frustration growing for Justin Jefferson as that game went along after a great start. So the Vikings now have lost two in a row. And people are – although Sam Darnold didn't play poorly yesterday, people are starting to – all right, this is the Sam Darnold and the Vikings we thought we were going to have going into the year. So the world is healing. At least the NFL world is healing when it comes to Sam Darnold reverting back.
That is so funny that they lose one game and we're like, all right, back to the trash for you, Sam Darnold. The Lynn Sanity run is over. Get out of my face. J.J. McCarthy 2025. Because, I mean, it felt like it was 2 weeks ago. We're like, are we going to have like an awkward conversation, an awkward offseason with the, wait, is J.J. McCarthy just going to walk into the starting job, or are they going to have to trade Sam Darnold for, like, multiple firsts, or what's going to happen? And now we're to the point where it's like, I don't know how much we're going to have to worry about that.
Now, I don't think it'll be a giant problem going forward, it looks like. Now, making the playoffs is still
within the realm of possibility.
There are three other teams in that division who are really good. You look at the rest of the NFC and see if they're as a competitor. Maybe the Eagles and the Commanders are there. We'll see what the Cowboys are. So there, that was on Thursday night, and I appreciate the tweet because when you just start reading a flyer, you don't sometimes connect the dots. It is an Arctic cooler. I just started reading it and started reading. I just started reading letters. It's an Arctic cooler here that you can win here at Bobcat of Houston. Thanks, Art, for that. You reminded me that, hey, yeah, it's Arctic cooler. Why are you reading the letters like you've never heard of it before? Yeah.
It does. Yeah. I get it.
It fooled me. The flyer fooled me a little bit. And the flyer is courtesy of Bobcat of Houston. We're out here in Porter for the grand opening.
Minor Ron Burgundy moment.
Yeah.
Could have been worse.
A lot of stuff going on here. A lot of stuff going on here. I've got a social media camera in my face. I've got our general manager out here. There's a lot going on here. I'm under some pressure. So it is an Arctic cooler that they're providing along with the chance to win a brand new Bobcat or an Echo trimmer and blower. 10% off parts and supplies out here. We're going to be out here till 3. Gaunt and George, follow me. The grand opening event officially starts at 11. So if you want to come out here and get lunch, you can. That goes till 2. And if you want to dig something up, that's how it was described to me. You want to dig something up, you want to cut some grass, you're in need of an excavator, it's all out here for you. And in fact, I'm looking at what they're offering right now. I can't say I've ever been on one of those things before, but it looks cool. It looks really cool if you know how to use a Bobcat ZT3000. I'm looking at it right now, brand new. And the Arctic cooler, got it right that time, the Arctic cooler is there as well. So come out here and have a chance to win. 97.5 out here till 3. Gallant George follows me. We will be back.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. Best in Houston sports talk is ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
From the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios, located at Bobcat of Houston and Porter. Here's Del Olalea.
I am out here at Bobcat of Houston and Porter, and we're getting close to the beginning of the grand opening event. Of course, you can come out here now, but from 11 to 2, you get a chance for a free lunch and also a chance to win great prizes from Bobcat. In the next hour, run down some of the things they are offering. If you've never heard of the place before, but maybe you need an excavator, that's one of the things they offer. We'll get to that in a little bit. Okay, last night in the NBA, we saw Klay Thompson, maybe not for the first time in a Mavericks uniform, but a lot of you probably didn't watch preseason Mavericks basketball, understandably so. A lot of you probably didn't watch Rockets preseason basketball. It's just the nature of the sport. He had a good night last night, so we can stop with the wash Clay thing, at least for a game. Now, the Rockets are going to play the Mavericks a lot, but will it hit the same, Sean, to watch Clay Thompson rise up for a jumper in a Mavericks uniform? It's going to look weird, but will that fear that you probably had for most of your adult life, is it still going to be there?
Probably a little. I mean, if he's making them, yes.
Sure.
If he put 6 in there like he did last night, yeah, because that's 6 more than the Rockets are going to make. So yeah.
Well, in a stretch, sure. The Rockets not known as a good 3-point shooting team, and they weren't in their last game. They have the Memphis Grizzlies tonight. Memphis coming to town. Memphis is a team that it's not forgotten about if you think about what they were a couple years ago, but they've been injured, and we have the Ja Morant stuff off the court, and he got hurt too. So it's been a while for them to be a team of relevance, and they're back to doing that now. Now, Jaren Jackson Jr. is still injured, but they win their first game in Utah. They come to town trying to get to 2-0. Yeah, that's why the Charlotte game, I know it's only one of 82, and sure, you can go 0-2, but the Charlotte game was a big one because you're trying to find wins, and you look at the schedule, particularly if you're considering this team a playoff contender. I don't think there'll be a runaway top 5 seed. So now you think, what games are you giving up? It's going to cost you maybe not an easy run into the last stretch of the year, but are we going to likely have a desperate team down the stretch? Probably, because Sean and I don't think they're as good as maybe others do. So if we're talking about the Rockets and their goals not to trick off wins, the Charlotte one was a problem, considering now you have the Grizzlies coming to town with a real shot of being 0-2 because they seem just fine right now with most of their guys back. So we'll see what happens tonight. But the Klay Thompson thing is interesting to watch him out there. Now you would say the Mavericks with him have a legit third threat when he's on his game. I mean, the Tim Hardaway stuff went poorly. In fact, he lost minutes. So the Mavericks obviously have Kyrie and they have Luka. Now they have a designated shooter. Klay's defense ain't the same as it was, but I don't like the fact that they have another threat who's an actual real shooter as opposed to like the variant that P.J. Washington had and Derrick Jones Jr., who's no longer there. Those guys were the reason they won that OKC series, which was a surprise. Now you throw him into the mix, a motivated Klay. Just another reason why the West is so tough. The Mavericks, who were like a 5 seed last year, added a guy who can go get you 6 threes in a game on a night where maybe Luka and Kyrie don't have it, and he will be someone the Rockets have to contend with. It's like, okay, we're just never going to be done with Klay Thompson. He couldn't have gone to the East. He couldn't have gone to a team who wasn't relevant. Like, send Klay Thompson to Portland. He wouldn't have ever gone there. But you put him in Portland, I don't care what Klay Thompson does in Portland. Now that he's going to hit multiple daggers this season, so he's going to be part of our lives forever.
He's definitely going to hit a fourth quarter three to either take the lead against the Rockets or to like put away a game, to make a 2-point game a 5-point game with 30 seconds left. You know, like that kind of,
yeah, one of those.
Just like,
yeah,
oh, the game's over because Klay Thompson, basically what Trey Mann did to him on Wednesday night.
Yeah, the Trey Mann to Klay Thompson.
It's the same guy. It's the same picture, Your Honor.
Yes, but now let me ask you this. Klay Thompson doesn't have that Golden State uniform on, so can he continue to put up four when people trash talk to him? Like, I got my four. Can he still do that?
I mean, it's his four.
It is his four, but it came someplace else. I know, but part of the allure or the luster of that was he was still in a Golden State uniform when he did it. Kobe, yeah. When he would talk trash, he would do the five thing, but he was in a Laker uniform. I don't know if he goes four, my four, and point to his rings when he played for the Mavericks is the same. I'm not saying Klay won't try to get it off, because he'll do it when he's going 3-for-13, so why wouldn't he do it in a different uniform? But it ain't going to be the same.
I think also the fact he's wearing a different number also drives home the fact that, and obviously Kyrie Irving wears number 11, so he was never going to wear number 11. But there, that adds to the, like, oh yeah, this is number 31, Klay Thompson.
But about that, why is Kyrie? Well, Kyrie can't be married to 11. It's not the only number he's worn in the pros.
Two. Yeah.
Yeah.
But
Kyrie,
I mean,
could have switched.
Yeah,
but I think Derek Lively might wear two, so it would have been like this domino effect of things.
Three-team trade?
Come on. Yeah.
Think Derek Lively wants to wear 31? Hell no.
No, you know, he can wear something else. I don't know what he thinks is a cool number, but if we're doing the hierarchy, Derek Lively, get out of the number two.
He is by far the third. Actually, who does have the hierarchy between Kyrie and Klay?
Well, Klay has more titles. So if we're going by that, Klay should have his choice of numbers.
And what, three titles off Kyrie?
Like Kyrie was injured for one of them, but sure.
Or not three titles, two titles.
Two titles.
Two and one in those finals. They famously, Kyrie Irving made the game winner in Game 7.
He made one, yes. But Klay is two up. Didn't they beat them three times?
Do you think he walks up to Kyrie and puts two in his face? Because they won 2015, they lost 2016, Warriors won 2017, and then Kyrie...
When was Kyrie gone? Yeah, Kyrie was gone, yeah.
And then Cavs made an 18 without Kyrie.
Okay, there it is. So he's up 2-1. But in this hierarchy, Klay wins. But it doesn't matter. He took his 31, and he's knocking down jumpers for the Mavericks now. So eventually he'll be knocking them down against the Rockets. But that's in the future a little bit.
Yeah, gosh,
the Rockets have...
I wish you went to, like, Orlando or something.
This is what I'm saying.
Not
someone that you don't have to deal with, that he's not your problem. That you don't have to worry about him. Like, twice a year for the Magic, who cares?
I feel like it wouldn't have hit the same if he was in Orlando. I think it's the fact he's in a Mavs uniform.
Another rival that you can't stand. Dallas, all the things. So, you go from Golden State, who you hate because of the competitiveness, to Dallas, who you hate just because it's Dallas, and he decided to put on their uniform. Because why wouldn't he?
Yeah.
Watch Draymond wind up a Spur or something.
Oh, my God.
In his career.
That
watch it happen at the end of his career. Pop
Wimby
brings him in for a year, too.
And Draymond?
Yeah, you got to hate Wimby for his reaction when he found out the Rockets weren't going to be able to draft him.
Yeah, how's that look?
That's still a thing for people. Well, I mean, he's fine. that Spurs team's still going to stink, it looks like. But through one game, I've made my determination that they're going to be terrible.
Now, that's a fair determination, yeah. Will they, from last year, I think they won like 18 games. Will they combine to win the 41 that the Rockets won last year?
So will they win 23?
Yeah. Will they win 23 games?
If they don't win 23, we can toss Wimby and Pop in the fraud category.
Okay.
You're trying this year. They weren't even trying last year. They were playing Jeremy Sochan at
point guard.
Sochan at point guard. That's not trying. You're trying. You get Chris Paul, old as he is, crabby as he is. You still got him to try to feed guys and run an offense and try to win games. They got to win more than 23 games.
Okay. They also have Harrison Barnes. Don't disrespect Harrison Barnes.
Oh, I remember. I just wanted to throw him in there, the great Harrison Barnes.
They're serious.
I don't want to besmirch his name. The great Harrison Barnes with the Spurs stuff.
And by the way, Victor Wembanyama was built to be a Rocket, or at least a Rocket this year. He was 5 for 18, 1 from 8 from 3. Could have done that in a Rockets uniform, dude.
You mean tall Fred VanVleet?
Yeah, could have lost.
You just mimic
too.
Fred VanVleet. Could have lost. You could have lost to Charlotte just as well. Yeah. Who cares?
Who cares? What does it matter?
What's the matter? You could have been here instead of.
What are you missing out on exactly? Being in San Antonio, a direct flight to France—that's what you're missing out on.
It's true. What's the connecting flight from San Antonio
probably Houston.
To? It probably has to come to Houston and then fly to France
or Atlanta.
Probably.
Yeah,
that's true. Knowing how my dad gets here from overseas, yeah, it's probably Atlanta to Houston. So there it is. Rockets tonight, Grizzlies. We'll see if it's in better environment tonight. I don't think a lot of people at least got there, were in their seats when the game started. Friday night, a lot different from Wednesday. We'll see how the crowd reacts to the Rockets against a good basketball team in the Memphis Grizzlies. When we come back, we'll talk about the college football weekend. I'll ask Sean this question. We know who he'll be focused on this week for obvious reasons, but if he had to pick a game to watch that wasn't the Longhorns, what would he pick? I'll do the same because I have obviously a rooting interest as well. And anyone want to get in on anything, you can, 713-780-3776. You can call in about pretty much anything. You know the deal here. We are at Bobcat of Houston and Porter. I'll give you some of the things, not only that they're giving away, but that you can, you know, come out here and purchase because they'd love you to do that too when we come back.
ESPN 97.5.
At Giant Eagle, we believe in better. And that includes finding more ways to help you save. Because finding a good deal is everyone's deal. Because every dollar and every moment counts. On sale this season at Giant Eagle, you'll find lower prices on hundreds of favorites, like seedless grapes, ground beef, Giant Eagle American cheese, and more. Giant Eagle. Because it matters. Limited time only through September 9, 2026. Prices and participation may vary. See store for details.
Ryan Seacrest here. So every great barbecue takes a little patience. And while the food does its thing, you can enjoy a little Chumba Casino. The perfect recipe. Chumba Casino. Always good to have you back.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.